And it's nice to be with you and share with our brother John just in the Gospel. I want just to read three brief statements from the Lord Jesus. The first is found in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then we're over in John's Gospel in chapter 5. John chapter 5. He says in verse 39, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might of life." And then in chapter 7 of the same Gospel, verse 33 and verse 32, "Chief priests sent the officers to take him." And verse 33 says, "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come." And we look again to the Lord to add a blessing to his work. The Lord Jesus Christ, while here in the days of his flesh, he ever and always spake in language which was simple, clear, and unmistakably plain. Someone has said that the biggest word he ever used was the word "whosoever." And thanks be to God tonight, it's so big that it embraces every man, woman, boy and girl under the canopy of heaven, that grand word, "whosoever." But I want you to think this evening that as he spoke these words, simple, clear and plain though they were, they fell in different groups of different types of hearers. Or if you like, he evoked a different kind of response from them. In Matthew 11, he gives the invitation. He invites men and women, and boys and girls, and he says these lovely, glorious words, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." An invitation from the Saviour. But when we come to John chapter 5, he doesn't now say, "Come unto me," but he says, "Ye will not come to me that you might have life." You see, they had heard the invitation. They had heard the claims of the Saviour. They had heard the way of salvation. But sadly, it had fallen on deaf ears. And they had remained indifferent to it. And he said to these people, "You will not come to me that you might have life." When we come to John chapter 7, he doesn't now say, "Come unto me." Nor does he say, "You will not come to me." But he says, "There's coming a day when you'll seek me. And you shall not find me. Where I am, that is in heaven. You cannot come." An awful finality about that. Seeking him, but too late. Where he is in heaven, you will not be. Let's think then for a moment of the invitation, for it is an invitation that the Lord gives. He stands in the Gospel tonight as he did those many years ago, and with outstretched arms he invites men and women to come. It's an invitation. The boys and girls sometimes receive an invitation, maybe to a friend's party. The adults, sometimes we receive an invitation to an event like a wedding. And you know, when you receive an invitation, you need to decide. You need to make up your mind. Are you going or are you declining? And that's the same in the gospel tonight. As you leave this building, you'll have made a decision. You maybe won't have spoken it audibly, but in your heart, you'll have made a decision. And that decision will be concerning Christ and could well affect your eternal destiny. This is not the first invitation in the Bible to a nation of old that had forgotten God, very much like the nation in which we live tonight. For we live in a nation that has forgotten God. It used to be Bible-loving Scotland. No longer. More like bingo-loving Scotland. And to a nation like that, God spoke in the Old Testament and he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Notice he says, "Come now." The Bible says that we know not what a day may bring forth. And that's true. There'll be folks in inner leaving and messing. Before the day is out, they'll be into the great eternity. The Bible says this: "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is God's day of salvation." My friend, tomorrow's sun might never rise to bless your long deluded sight. You would be saved. Why not? Tonight, come now. But you know, earlier on in the Bible, there was another invitation to that man, Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah had been warned of God of things not seen as yet, and he prepared an ark. At that time, rain didn't fall as it does today, but a mist rose and watered the ground. And men laughed and scorned at the warnings of Noah concerning coming judgment. And I tell you, there are plenty scoffers today who'll laugh in the face of God. There came a time when God said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." And God shut the door, and the judgment of God fell. And only Noah and his family were saved. I want you to notice that salvation is personal and individual. Doesn't run in the blood, doesn't run in the family. Forget about the person next to you. Salvation tonight is a personal, individual matter. There's a time in my life as a boy of 8 years of age, I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, and found in him a resting place. And I tell you, he can make you glad. He'll satisfy the very deepest longings of your heart. And he'll not only be a friend in time, but he'll land you one day safe on the other side. It's an invitation, come. But then I thought it was a word that suggested distance. If I asked you to come on to the platform, there's a little distance between you and me. It's a word that suggests distance. You think of the illustration now of the parents with a little child. The father stands with a little one, and the mother stands with outstretched arms. And what does she say? She says, "Come, come." The object is for the little one to leave the father's arms and move towards the mother. You know, as we look on, it's only a step or two. It's only a small distance. Maybe to the little one it would seem a great distance. I want to say tonight, the message of the gospel tells of one who has came a great distance. He has came from heaven to earth. He has come from eternity into time. The Bible says it's a reliable saying that Christ Jesus came into the world. What to do? In order to save sinners. You see, you and I are like that little child this evening. We have to step out in the arms of faith, so to speak. We need to take that step of faith. We need to say, Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul, guilty, lost, helpless. Thou and thou alone canst make me whole. Come. An invitation, word that suggests distance. I thought now it was a word of great simplicity. Go back to the illustration of the father standing with the little child and the mother standing with outstretched arms. Why she doesn't go into long, involved, complicated sentences to convey to that little one that he or she has to leave the arms of the father and make towards the mother. No, she simply stands. And she says, come. A word of great simplicity. You know, if people could do something for salvation, many try it. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. If people could pay for it, the rich would live. The poor would die. But my friend, salvation tonight is without money and without price. All you have to do is come in your sin, come in your need, come and repent, come and believe, come and trust Christ. Someone has said that C stands for the children. O stands for the old folks. M stands for the middle aged. Thanks be to God tonight that E stands for everyone. And the sweet great news of the gospel tonight is that none need perish, all may live, for Christ has died. And the Saviour appeals to you tonight and he says, come. Now I want you to notice that salvation is in a person. Not in a religion. I don't know how many religions there are in the world. But I tell you, I could spend my time scouring the world in search of it, and at the end miss it and perish in my sin. It's not in a church. Don't know how many kinds of churches there are in the world. And I want to say this, it's not in the gospel hall. And I want to say this, it's not in a man in Rome or New York or any other metropolis of the world. Salvation tonight is in a man at God's right hand who died on the cross. Men put him to shame. God has honored him. God has raised him. God has seated him. Salvation tonight is in a person. That's what the early preachers preach. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Fellow traveller to eternity tonight, you need salvation, and salvation alone can be found in the glorious person of God's beloved Son. And what's the promise tonight? If you'll come, come in your sin, come in your need. Come confessing, come in repentance, come low before the cross. He says, I will give you rest. Not much of that in the world. Oh, the political parties will make their manifesto. And they'll promise you the world. It's not long before it's broken. and we remain saddened and disillusioned. I tell you tonight, there's rest at Calvary. There's rest at the cross. There's rest and peace and satisfaction in Christ. Sometimes we sing, rest there from the world's false ways. Rest there from its vanity. Rest in pardon and relief. Rest in perfect peace with God. Will you come tonight? Will you come as you are? Will you come in your sin? Will you come in your need? Will you come to Christ and find this rest and pardon and forgiveness? Sadly, the Saviour can say these words, not now come unto me, but you will not come to me that you might have life. Interesting to note what he said before that. He said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you'll not come to me that you might have life. They came to the right source. They came to the Holy Scriptures. They came to the Word of God. They came to the Bible that speaks of Christ from Genesis to Revelation. They came to the right source. I want to say this, they came with the wrong motive. And they thought that in just the perusal of the Word of God, that was sufficient. And they failed to find Christ. Now, John has already thanked you for coming. Good to see you. May the Lord richly bless you. I want to say this tonight. You've come to the right source. Because you've come to a place where the Word of God is read and the glorious gospel of the grace of God is proclaimed. But have you come with the right motive? The Saviour has to say to these people, you will not come to me that you might have life. Oh, they had heard the invitation. They knew the gospel. They knew the way of salvation. And maybe that's true of you tonight. And yet the Saviour would say, if he stood here, sadly, you will not. You will not come to me that you might have life. You see, they had closed their ears. They had hardened their hearts. You will not come to me that you might have life. But when we come to John chapter 7, he doesn't now say, come unto me, or you will not come to me. But he says, look, there's coming a day when you'll seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, that's in heaven. He ascended back to the Father. It's in heaven tonight. Lovely man in the glory. A prince of the Saviour. He says, where I am, you cannot. You cannot come. He spoke about this again. He says they'll come and they'll knock. They'll say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. We have ate and drunk in thy presence. What will he say? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Ate and drunk in his presence. What does that mean? It just means this. They took Holy Communion. They broke bread. Maybe once a year, maybe four times a year, maybe every week. Bread that speaks of his body broken. A cup that speaks of his blood outpoured for cleansing of sin. ate and drunk in my presence. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You see, if you don't know him now, he'll not know you then. At the end of the day, it's faith in Christ and in Christ alone that counts. Miss Christ, you'll miss heaven, you'll miss home, and that for the great eternity. I trust that someone tonight will have the saving grace and come to Christ for salvation. Let's pray. Our Father, we're conscious that there's one who stands at the door and knocks. Longs our God that the heart's door would be open. Longs our God to our fellowship. Longs our God that men and women might come to him, that they might come to know him, whom to know is life eternal. Many of us have had that experience. Pray for any with us tonight who have never had it, still outside of Christ, still in their sin. We thank thee that the door is still open, and we thank thee, O God, they can come tonight, and in coming to Christ find forgiveness and salvation. Bless thy word to every heart as we give thanks now in the Saviour's name. Amen. Just in closing now, number 87, come away to Jesus, he is willing to forgive. His love will shine around you every moment that you live. You'll find him good and true, the pilgrim journey through. He'll do better for you than this world can do. We'll just sing the first and the third verse, verses 1 and 3 of number 87, after which the meeting's over. We do thank you for coming. John will be at the door to shake you by the hand if you get any questions or would like to speak further about these matters. Make it known to him or to any of the friends. Number 87, just keeping our seats, verses 1 and 3.